Farm today.
Yes, you're in the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. My co-host is Chris O'Brien. And we have a very special guest. And before we introduce our guest, let me tell you a story. On November 22nd of 2009, we featured James Carrion, our guest tonight. He was at the time International Director of MUFON. It was a pleasant conversation. We had a great time. I hope he did. He even recorded a promo for the program. So, you know, it was a pleasant show. We talked about his work, about MUFON, everything else. Then, on January 23rd of 2011, almost 14 months to the day later, we featured a different person handling the chores of director of MUFON, who was Clifford Clift. Okay, we had a pleasant time, pleasant discussion. We got along well. He also recorded, by the way, a promotional announcement for the Paracast. You know, we ask that courtesy of our guests sometimes. Okay, now a lot has happened. A lot happened in those 14 months, and a lot has happened since that show was broadcast. So before we go on, not too many weeks, James, after you appeared on the Paracast, you stepped down as International Director of MUFON. So what was going on? Why did you make that decision?
Well, actually, I had made the decision quite a ways back. Actually, I had informed the board at our 2009 symposium that I was considering stepping down. Since my three-year term was up, I told him I would stay on for as long as the BAS project was running, but I would be officially relinquishing the position in 2010. So this was planned way in advance as far as the peaceful transition of power. But what ended up happening was I resigned before my term was up. I was going to relinquish my term, relinquish the position. In 2010, and what happened was there were some events that occurred within MUFON that sort of forced me to resign before my term was up.
Okay, therein lies a tale. Can you tell us about those events?
So what happened was in January of 2010, the BAS contract was coming to an end, and two of the board members, Clifford Cliff, who was going to take over as international director, and who had actually been announced as international director, and Jan Harzan secretly sent a letter to BAS trying to portray me as the reason why the project was failing and offering transparency to BAS and accountability. And they did this behind my back while I was still acting international director. So they entered into secret communication, and once I found out that letter was sent, it was sent to me by a third party. Then I turned around and offered my immediate resignation from the board and from MUFON.
I think our listeners, for those who haven't followed the byplay, this contract, which has become a big issue between MUFON and an outside investor, what was that about?
The contract with BAS was basically subcontracting MUFON for UFO investigative services, but also for access to MUFON's historical case files, as well as the current cases that were being entered into our website. So basically, we're looking for MUFON to send investigators out to the field for high-priority cases, especially where there was physical evidence involved, to collect that evidence and then to share that evidence with BAS.
Okay, now, who runs this organization that you contracted with?
Well, BAS stands for Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, so this is a sort of subsidiary of Bigelow Aerospace.
Now, Robert Bigelow, by the way, he became very wealthy because he owned this hotel chain, right?
That's correct. And then he branched out later on into the aerospace industry.
Okay. So they contracted with you. How much did this investment entail?
Well, roughly, it was the contract's sort of floating around the internet right now. So I think everybody pretty much knows what the sums are. But for your listeners who haven't seen it, it was roughly around $56,000 a month.
Well, that's not bad. Now, in looking at MUFON, how were your finances up to the point that you get this $56,000 offer per month? How were you doing?
Well, MUFON is pretty much always operated on a slim budget, with the monies coming in from membership and for merchandise sales, just covering expenses, the operational expenses of salaries and getting the MUFON journal out. There was really never any substantial money left over to actually do research or to do investigations. So we're, you know, MUFON has always been that way in the last 40 years, is they've been operating on very slim budgets. I think it's because of this recession that hit everybody hard, merchandise and membership fell, not a lot, but significantly.
So basically the membership fees pay to print the magazine, to finance, I guess, an office, but not really to conduct field investigations. So what do? Just have volunteers do it?
All the investigation was volunteer-based, so these volunteers would, on their own time and their own money, would go out and investigate these UFO cases.
Okay, so this must have been a big boon. Suddenly you have this guy with the big, deep pockets, and he's giving you $56,000 a month. What did he require in exchange for that money?
Well, I think that became one of the sticking points of the contract, because the contract specifically stated it was for MUFON's investigative services and access to our files. But in terms of what those deliverables were, it was vague and sort of open-ended. But at the same time, it was a straightforward purchase agreement. And so my concern early on when negotiating the contract was, what happens if we don't spend $56,000 in a month? And I posed that question directly to Mr. Bigelow. And he said, well, it's a straightforward purchase contract. The money belongs to MUFON.
Okay, so they're getting all your case files. Now, is this information that is already public, or is there confidential information that was involved in this agreement?
Well, there was confidential information. So there were two concerns. One was historical case files where there was witness information. And so we had to be careful about which case files we could release to BASS. The second was the current case files, when somebody reported a current UFO sighting. So what we did there is we sort of covered ourselves legally by requiring the witness to elect whether or not they were going to release their information to third parties, in this case being BASS.
All right. Now, is this one of the things that was the straw that broke the camel's back that made you want to resign? What were they doing behind your back?
Well, what happened was there were two renewal periods built into the contract. So after 5 months of performing these services, the contract was under revision or under renewal in June of 2009. But the provisions in the contract stated that they could either continue the contract at the same contract price per month, they could increase funding, or they could terminate the contract. And they elected to do a fourth option, which was not in legal terms in the contract itself, and they decided to reduce the contract monthly amount in half.
Okay, why?
Because at that point, MUFON had accumulated, I think it was somewhere around $150,000 in the bank of project money that we had not spent. And Mr. Bigelow said, well, we think you should be spending that money on services that directly benefit us. So basically, there was no provision in the he thought there was no provision in the contract for MUFON to have a profit or to get profit from the contract.
Okay, so basically, you're getting this money every month to perform investigations, and it's going in the bank.
Well, we were paying for whatever operational expenses we needed to for the high priority cases for that month. So it was a substantial amount of money. We were only going to field investigators for those cases that were worth it. It wasn't like we were trying to skimp or save. We were doing as much as we could based on the caseload that was coming in. It was just a lot of money that we didn't expect we could spend the whole amount in a single month.
Okay, we'll get into more of this in a moment. James Carrion joining us, former International Director of the Mutual UFO Network. And neighbors, if you have a question or a comment about the Paracast, write us, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We read every letter we get. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Shank. This week, we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods. We've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick-fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Did you know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We return. Part two. James Carrion is our guest, former international director of the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And we're looking at this agreement from Robert Bigelow to fund their investigations. So were you basically forced to spend $56,000 a month no matter what, or he didn't think in terms of this being a long-term investment that maybe you don't need it this month, but 6 months down the pike, there's a landing, you got to rush out people?
Well, I think that was the big point of contention, because in our early negotiations with Bass, we wanted clarification on these leftover monies. So legally, we did not have to spend the money left over at the end of the month on project expenses. That was MUFON's money. The way that Mr. Bigelow saw it, though, was, well, we don't want you accumulating that money in the bank. That's not in the spirit of our agreement, whatever that means, spirit of the agreement. And he said, okay, we're just going to reduce what we're going to send you in half, which was fine, because keep in mind we had $150,000 in the bank. So they cut the checks in half, and it did meet our operational expenses each month. The problem was that when October of 2009 rolled around and we were in our second renewal period, at that point they decided to not send checks altogether. And the project didn't finish until February, so all of the operational expenses after October came from the bank account.
Sounds like he's changing the game midstream. I mean, it doesn't sound like that was a provision in the contract. It's like, isn't the contract null and void at that point?
That was my point of view, and that's what I argued with the board. But I guess the MUFON board of directors, they saw this as a unique relationship that they didn't want to place into jeopardy, and they saw it as a long-term funding source. So they basically allowed Mr. Bart Bigelow to invalidate his own contract.
Boy, and I can see why, how that could be a real problem, not only legally in terms of contractual agreements, but in terms of kind of a micromanaging situation that suddenly is looming. It's almost like Bigelow and Bass then started dictating exactly how the whole process was going to go down, which was above and beyond the actual languaging of the contract. So what did you do at that point?
Well, you know, at that point, I deferred to the board. The majority decision of the board was to go ahead and accept Mr. Bigelow's terms. So we received a reduction in funds, half of the contractual price from June till October. And the problem was, when October rolled around and they stopped sending checks altogether, that's when I told the board, first of all, I informed the board that I was going to step down as international director. And second, I handed over the renegotiation of the Bass contract or any future negotiations to one of the other board members to handle. At that point, I was pretty much done and disgusted with this relationship.
Well, that brings up the obvious question of, what's it like for a nonprofit organization that's been serving the public, basically? I mean, the public is your market in terms of the information that you're collecting. It sounds like you had to deal with somebody horning in and dictating exactly how this entire relationship and the process, which then rubs off on the MUFON, you know, way of doing things. It sounds like he was trying to pretty much muscle in and take over.
Well, it was interesting the way that came about, because at the beginning, in our initial negotiations, Mr. Bigelow specifically stated that he didn't want to see this contract as managing MUFON or having anything to say in the management of MUFON. But that's exactly the way it ended up, because by changing the terms and controlling the purse strings and then getting the board to then cave into his demands, it's exactly what happened. The board forgot who they owed their allegiance to. It wasn't to a for-profit corporation. It's to the public. That's what a nonprofit exists for, is to serve the public.
Sounds like hostage-taking, I think, would be the clinical term for it. Well, this is really unfortunate that once again we have, you know, deep pockets coming in, throwing some money around and expecting to circumvent, you know, the way things have been done for X amount of years, and then sort of instilling their own program, their own agenda into the whole situation. So this was pretty much the last straw for you, is what I'm hearing then.
Well, I can see the writing on the wall after the June renewal, that things just weren't on the up and up. So I had informed the board well in advance I would be stepping down, but I would stay on until the project was finished, which was my plan. I was going to relinquish the international director position to Clifford Cliff as of March 1st, which was right around the time the contract was going to end. But then these secret negotiations happened in late January that caused my premature resignation.
I'm curious here, why would they want to engage in these negotiations behind your back? What was the end game here?
Well, I think the end game for them was they. What happened was that the Bass auditors came. The Bass folks came in and said, "Hey, we hear rumors that project money is being embezzled or something's being mismanaged. So we'd like a copy of the books." And not only did Dan Harzin, board member, hand over the Bass books, in other words, the books that were related to the project, he handed over MUFON's operational books. So he gave these auditors access to MUFON's accounting, which they had no right to be looking at. And they turned around and found all of these very ridiculous clerical errors. For example, a check was entered here with the wrong number. This expense was mislabeled. And they came back and they basically told MUFON, we really have no confidence in MUFON's ability to handle a project like this. So at that point, the board panicked. They thought, oh, we're going to lose our funding source here. So what they did is they turned around and they tried to scapegoat me as the person who mismanaged it.
Okay, how far back did they go through these books? Was it just through the period in which they invested in MUFON or before that? And who also was actually doing the books for you?
Well, MUFON was using QuickBooks for accounting. So there were two different sets of books. One was MUFON's books that went back to when I took over in 2006. And what really irks me is that after I left, Clifford Cliff said that I was not doing proper accounting. The records were in disarray. Yet when I took over MUFON in 2006, the accounting consisted of a manual checkbook. So it really irked me because we sort of turned around and tried to make sure that every specific financial transaction was entered into QuickBooks and that it was all properly accounted for. What they did is they turned over both set of books, which included MUFON's finances all the way back to 2006.
Okay, so when you come in, it's just a checkbook, a ledger, and that's it?
That's it.
Okay, so this organization's been around for then 35 or so years, and that's what the books were, just bare bones.
Correct.
Okay, so you put it onto QuickBooks. You want this to be using a computerized program. So they were looking at the errors made before you got things moved over to the computerized system.
No, there were some errors in our books. We entered every single transaction in the books, and so of course, there's going to be clerical errors of one form or another, and there were some balancing issues. But the bottom line is that it was nothing. There was no embezzlement of money. There was no misappropriation of funds. In fact, after the Bass auditors had their go with it, then Clifford turned around and found an independent CPA firm to come in and audit again.
Okay, well, we'll get into more of that in a moment. James Carrion, former director of MUFON, joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866 404 freeze-dry-guy.com. That's freeze-dry-guy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bud Hopkins, and you're listening to the Paracast, and I completely, enthusiastically endorse this program. It's an absolutely great program with an opportunity to stretch out and talk.
We return talking about what's going on at MUFON. James Carrion, former international director, joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, so Clifford Clift, after their auditors leave, he hires another auditing firm. What did they determine?
Well, it was interesting because they came out and they said, well, we don't see any problems at all. There hasn't been any embezzlement of funds. Every dollar is accounted for. But they tried to state that, for example, in the 2008 MUFON symposium, where there was a financial loss, that the how I had documented that loss was not correct, that it was an actual greater loss. And, you know, so I was being accused of not doing proper financial record keeping. I said, well, let me see your auditor reports. And they refused to hand them over to me. So they basically were waiving this auditing, these auditing reports in front of the MUFON membership, saying, oh, thank God we got in here and fixed this because there are problems. But they never actually released those auditing reports for me to verify whether any of it was actually properly done.
Do you think you were being ambushed?
Oh, absolutely. I think I was being scapegoated. I think what the MUFON board was trying to do was saying, okay, yes, we have problems. Our problem is James. And once he's out, we're in charge. We promise that we'll get things back in order. I mean, what irked me the most, to be honest, was the letter they sent to Bass, where they offered Bass complete transparency. Those are the actual words, complete transparency. So here they were doing this behind the back of the acting international director. They didn't inform the membership, but they were offering complete transparency to a for-profit corporation.
Well, I will pick up. Who's the treasurer of the international organization at this point? I mean, shouldn't the treasurer be the one that's dealing with all this type of, you know, financial sort of inquiries and whatnot?
Oh, sure, absolutely. The treasurer is board member Tom Whitmore. And the interesting thing about this is that in financial reports I submitted to the board in summer of 2009 and even the fall of 2009, we knew that there were some problems with the books in terms of balances. for example, we knew our bank account was positive, but the QuickBooks was showing some negative numbers, and we were trying to figure out what those were. So an audit was due, for sure, an independent audit. But the treasurer, rather than do that, they decided to do it after they had released the books to BAS, when they should have done it beforehand.
Let's look at the line of demarcation here. You are international director. You have a treasurer. Isn't the treasurer responsible for the condition of the organization's books?
Well, technically, that's the way it should be. But I think what's always happened is the international director has always been responsible for handling the books and the day-to-day finances. And basically, the financial reports would go to the board, to the treasurer, and they would sign off on it. So basically, we're signing off on reports that show some discrepancies in the accounting. Nothing that was nefarious or there was no wrongdoing. It was just the way QuickBooks maintained the records. So it was basically they were saying, okay, well, we believe you that there's nothing wrong and going on. But then at the same time, they're telling BAS, yes, there is something wrong.
Oh, so they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. Let me ask you about the position of International Director of MUFON. Is this a salaried position or a volunteer position?
It's a salary position. It's always been a salary position.
It's a full-time job?
It is.
Okay. Now, what was your background before you got into MUFON as a salaried international director? What were you doing?
Well, I've always been in the computer field. I own a computer training company, so I've always been in computers one way or the other. So I run my own business. And so I have a business background and sort of school of hard knocks. And that sort of factored into when I took over the international director position, getting the nonprofit in sort of business mode.
So basically here, both you and your successor are business people. You're not investigators, per se.
Well, I wear many hats. I consider myself actually an investigator and a pretty good investigator, especially when it's coming to some of these high-profile cases like the Kim Ross incident. And the Great Lakes Dive Company website that came up, I was the investigator that sort of sunk that boat, and also been involved seriously with these allegations that came out about the California drones and those photos. So I consider myself to be a high-level investigator and a pretty good investigator, and at the same time, I'm also a businessman.
I was going to say, and also your work on the Stan Romanek case, I think should be mentioned as well in passing. I love that, the way you found the misspelling of the word follow in context to supposed additional reports that supported Romanek's sighting report, and then you found the same word misspelled in supposedly other people's reports that corroborated his initial report.
He was writing his own good reviews.
Yeah, I've sort of been banned from the Romanek fan club.
I would imagine. All right, continue. I didn't mean to digress there, but I thought I'd point that one out because I do doff my hat to you on that particular catch.
Let me ask you here, during the course of time that you were getting money from Robert Bigelow and his people, did you actually accomplish anything other than just have a big, humongous headache with all this extra money sitting around? Did you make some meaningful progress in terms of investigations?
Well, there was some meaningful progress. The meaningful progress was to be able to take a high-priority case and be able to get rapid responders there quickly, just in case there was any physical evidence to collect. Now, a lot of times MUFON would respond to a case and get there a week later. By that time, every other investigator has picked it over, or curiosity seekers, and so physical evidence would end up getting trampled or misappropriated. And so the thought was get investigators there quickly and get them and pay them to do that so they respond quickly, and then try to secure the physical evidence just as quickly.
The information you got during this period, did you publish it, or was it just given to Bigelow to hide?
Well, the information was given to Bigelow, but then we would also take the case reports, and they would be in our case management system for anybody to see. And then some of those that were of interest but also published in the MUFON Journal.
Now, was there any one or two specific really hot cases that came out of these investigations?
Well, there were a couple of cases. There was a the craft that I forget the state that it was in, it was so long ago, but it flew over the head of this gentleman, and he experienced radiation type sickness after that. So there were some blood samples taken, I believe, sent to labs. And I believe there may have been a close encounter case somewhere. The thing is that I was so busy running MUFON, I wasn't really on top of the actual caseload. Our director of investigations took care of that. But I know there were a couple of significant cases.
Do you recall the test results from these blood tests?
To be honest, I don't.
Okay. You split from MUFON. Did you at least shake hands, or did you just say goodbye, good luck, go away, or what?
Oh, no. My resignation was immediate. So I didn't show my face in the office again after that.
So you got no severance pay?
There was no severance pay.
Kind of reminds me of my days back in radio, in commercial radio, where they would call me into the office, hand me a check, and say, goodbye, good luck, go find another job, we don't want you anymore.
Boy, that just sounds weird, Gene. Severance pay and MUFON in the same sentence. I'm not sure. Wow. James, you know, I mean, this begs a question. I mean, what are your personal feelings, you know, being there from the get-go when Bigelow approaches MUFON, and in light of some of the other acquisitions that he's been, you know, Brian Vike's site, for instance, HBCC, wrangling the FAA UFO reports. What is your feelings about Bigelow and his agenda? I mean, can you share any thoughts about why he's going this route of trying to obtain as much data? He's like casting a very large net and backing it up with money. I mean, what are your feelings about that?
And before you answer that question, we have James Carrion joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in Nature's Supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We do that every so often, neighbors. We have cliffhangers. We've been joined by James Carrion, former director of the Mutual UFO Network. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. The question on the table, James. Okay. Are you ready to answer?
I am. My personal feelings about what's going on here, to be honest, I think that when an organization like MUFON starts operating outside the box, in the case of MUFON, this was forming the STAR team, this rapid response team, which we didn't really have the money to put out in the field, but we said, well, we'll just go ahead and do it anyway, and hopefully the funds will show up. And then all of a sudden, we were getting these offers from Mr. Bigelow to employ that same STAR team on doing UFO investigations. We don't even know, or I don't think any of the board members except for John Schuster knows, whose money really was behind that project. Because it wasn't Bigelow's money. We know that it was some sponsors, some third-party sponsors that he revealed to John, but he wouldn't reveal to the rest of the board.
Okay, I'm getting confused here. So we have Bigelow's money, but now we have something else that was funded, your own research project.
No, I'm sorry. Let me clarify that.
Okay, sure.
The MUFON Bass project, what we were just talking about, was $56,000 a month. This is not come out of Mr. Bigelow's bank account. These were sponsors that were giving him the money to then forward the MUFON.
Okay, so he was basically the intermediary.
Exactly.
But he won't say who those people were.
Well, he did reveal who they were, allegedly, to John Schuessler.
John, by the way, is a former international director of MUFON.
Right, but he had John sign a non-disclosure agreement, and therefore John would not reveal that to the rest of the board. But I did, in our initial negotiations with Bass, when I flew out to his headquarters in Vegas, I point blank asked him, is this government money? And Mr. Bigelow stated no.
The one question I have at the beginning of this is, why did they pick MUFON? Because you were one of the few major organizations doing any kind of research at all?
Well, you know, I'm going to put on my very skeptical aliens don't exist hat here, which is kind of strange for a former international director of MUFON to state that, and just look at it from a mundane, very terrestrial point of view. If we look at, for example, what the U.S. Air Force is doing and some of its contractors in terms of developing new aircraft, new stealth fighters, new stealth bombers, these projects, a lot of them are special access projects using black money, and they have a substantial budget they set aside for security. So my feeling is that as part of the security fund is trying to, two things, keep the public from knowing what's being developed, and more importantly, keep our enemies, our foreign enemies, from knowing what's being developed. So I have a feeling that they're sort of hijacking the UFO phenomena, pushing UFO myth in an attempt to try to, when somebody sees something flying around that looks strange, blame it on aliens instead of what it really is, a high-tech stealth fighter.
Okay, isn't that also part of the legend of Area 51, that Area 51, you know, we said, hey, it's a place where they're keeping evidence about UFOs, crashed saucers, but really it was a place where they were testing secret weapons, stealth fighters, things like that.
Absolutely, and so this is where we get all of the bunk surrounding Bob Lazar and surrounding Area 51 and the EBEs that are allegedly being kept there. And it's a lot of this mythology that's being pushed by folks within, I believe, within the intelligence community to sort of muddy the waters and to get people believing in this stuff.
Okay. All right. I gather that you've become more and more of a skeptic over time, but we'll get into that in a moment. So the theory being here that Bigelow was getting some money from the government to kind of muddy the waters.
Well, that's all I can conclude at this point, because not knowing who his sponsors are and looking at the timing of all this, where MUFON was starting to possibly field a rapid response force. I mean, imagine that if MUFON got a call coming in that says, hey, something crashed in my backyard, and we were to get there first, and it wasn't an alien craft, it was the latest stealth fighter. They wouldn't like that too much, the Air Force or its contractors. So I think they saw that as a sort of a threat. Not to mention, they also saw as a threat MUFON's immediate our website, where you could report a UFO and it would show up on our website and show you exactly where it was happening, and somebody halfway across the world could monitor that. And it became sort of instant intelligence for the Russians or the Chinese. So I think there was a control issue here.
Okay, so they were afraid that they're testing secret weapons, and these secret weapons will be mistaken for UFOs. MUFON reports that information, and now the Chinese and the Russians and Al-Qaeda all know about it.
Well, it's not just reporting. Imagine if we were to happen upon a crash and collecting high composite material and other things. In other words, they had a containment issue and there was a control issue here. And these intelligence agencies are absolutely obsessed with control.
Well, okay, but if we have a secret weapon, we assume, you know, technology may be greater than what we have now, but certainly if you see a crashed object of some kind, it looks like an Air Force plane or something that's ours, we just call the proper authorities. We wouldn't necessarily think it's a UFO, would we?
No, but then there's still a containment issue, because what happens if MUFON investigators show up and carry off some of these pieces and hide them or pass them on to friends? I mean, the bottom line is they want to control this material very carefully.
But has it ever happened, ever?
Not to my knowledge. I do know that there was a UFO report that showed up on our website, where somebody took a photo of a stealth aircraft, a stealth vehicle flying over a lake, and actually I think it was called the Black Star Project. So they took a photo, and that was on our website. And supposedly this was a project that had been mothballed years earlier, yet was flying around the atmosphere. So you can imagine, I don't know if it was put up there as disinformation or somebody really took the picture and it was sort of, oops, in the wrong place at the wrong time.
All right, let's go back to more of the business stuff here. All right, so you shut the door, say goodbye, good luck, I'm out of here. Now, after that happened, and, you know, we had Clifford Clift on here and he behaved like a gentleman, but have they been ongoing bad mouthing of you, of your tenure at the organization?
Oh, absolutely. It was interesting. I got an email through a third party the other day where this MUFON member said, oh, well, Clifford Cliff has assured me that the MUFON finances are in order and no longer are there bank statements that are still sitting, year-old bank statements that haven't been opened and the books are properly reconciled. So basically what Clifford is going around is he's portraying himself sort of as the savior of the organization, the person who got MUFON back on the right track after I had screwed everything up. And, yeah, there's a lot of this stuff going on behind the scenes that I hear about.
Okay, so publicly it's all smiles, but behind your back it's the backstabbing.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that publicly he's not going to say anything, because I've already threatened MUFON with a libel suit.
Now, from what I'm hearing, though, there have been a lot of things going on at MUFON more recently, kind of a house cleaning. State directors disappearing, being fired. What's going on there? What are you hearing?
Well, there have been a number of state directors have been fired, and actually the one that surprised me the most was the state director for Colorado, Leslie Barnicle, who I've worked with for a number of years, and she's performed admirably. And Clifford let her go and stated that was because there was a problem with their management style. Well, I think the real reason they let her go was because at the symposium, the MUFON symposium this last year in 2010, the board meets with state directors, and Leslie recorded the audio of that session, and that made its way to me, and then I turned around and said, okay, I sent an email to the board and said, listen, folks, you're either going to publish in the MUFON Journal that what you said in this meeting about me is bunk, or you're looking at a libel suit. So I think after that happened, they probably blamed Leslie for how the audio got to me, and they turned around and figured out a way to let her go.
I spoke with Leslie last night, by the way. I had quite an extensive conversation. I've known Leslie for many years, you know, having, you know, investigated for years in Colorado. I do know a lot of the dedicated people in ufology in the state of Colorado. Leslie Barnicle was an absolute unsung hero. First of all, they claim that her management style was lacking, that she didn't know what she was doing to some degree. And I believe that's what she studied in college. I think she went to business school, if memory serves me correct. And, you know, I'm a little surprised that somebody who has dedicated so much of their own time, money, and effort and energy would be summarily dismissed like that. Chris, I puzzled about it, too.
Let's pick it up, Chris. We'll find out why. Why could that decision have happened? Chris O'Brien's the co-host. We're talking to James Carrion, former director of MUFON this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.